Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until, I almost said until midnight. That's our Sunday night program. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock this afternoon. It'd be nice to be able to be on that long here on a Friday afternoon, but got other things have to do as well yet tonight, including our Friday night Bible study. And I'm sure there's other programs following us that would not be happy if I took over their time. Anyway, we're glad to have you with us today, and I hope you'll be able to stay with us here this afternoon. Also, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call this afternoon. Our toll-free line is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And just a reminder, of course, we're brought to you not only by the Bible Baptist Church, that's my home church, and certainly invite you to visit us. We're located in Richfield, Ohio, Summit County, Northern Summit County, right where Interstate 77 and the Turnpike cross. We meet in the Holiday Inn Express, the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road. You can find out more about us. Go to our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can link from there to our church website for the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. You can also link to our Facebook page there. And, of course, our Facebook page, Live with Pastor Al, facebook.com/livewithpastoral. You can find us there. You can watch us live on Facebook. And so we'd love to have you there. And also, if you're not doing anything tonight, our Friday night Bible study is at 7 o'clock, 7 till 9, and sometimes people say, well, that's a long time, 2 hours for a Bible study. Well, believe it or not, we have people that'll stay for half hour, 45 minutes, hour and a half afterwards asking more questions, but we have to have an official time, so it's basically 7 till 9. It's an informal Bible study. You bring your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, just like we do on the radio programs, and we'll talk about maybe one topic for the whole night, or might be a dozen topics during the course of the night, but we encourage people to ask questions, and we believe the Bible has answers, and even if we don't always understand, we can certainly get some guidance from God's Word. Well, let's open in a word of prayer here this afternoon. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Bless the program this afternoon. Use it for your glory. Help us to point people to Christ. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And we just thank you for the opportunity, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good to see Pastor Lutz, and he had a good program before us here. He was mentioning East Coast Pizza out in Garfield Heights, and he said he almost turned around. I said, well, he was almost, but not persuaded. Almost, but not quite persuaded. And he was trying to think of the address, and they're located at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And, of course, they sponsor our program. One of our sponsors, in addition to our church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. But you can call East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And you can either order for pickup or delivery. And if you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And hey, the economy's picking up. If you're interested in opening your own pizza shop, talk to Gus at East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And he can help you get started in your own business. Not a franchise, and he'll help you out. All right, well, we're going to get into a couple of things here today, and wow, what a news week, and I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on the news. There's a number of other things I want to talk about, but the incredible scene of watching President Donald Trump walk across reach out his hand and shake hands with the dictator of North Korea. And something that if you'd have told me that a year ago, especially 2 years ago, I'd have never believed it. And it's just absolutely incredible. And you know, it's really interesting how God has worked that out. And my hope and prayer for the people of North Korea is that this will be the beginning of the modernization and the openness of that country. And who knows, perhaps Kim Jong-un, I know people have been praying for him. There's a number of refugees from North Korea, and I shouldn't say refugees, I should say escapees from North Korea. I've heard North Korea described as the world's largest prison camp. And there are people who have escaped from North Korea who are Christians who have actually been using radio, trying to beam radio broadcasts of the gospel message into North Korea. And when you think about the ability that we have today to get the Word of God into places, I've heard all kinds of stories where people have carried, you know, the gospel and carried Bibles into closed countries. And for those of you who remember the old Cold War days when the Iron Curtain was across half of Europe, and also what they called the Bamboo Curtain across to China and parts of Asia, where the communist governments banned any kind of Bibles or Christian literature and any kind of mission efforts. And there are people who had all kinds of things, everything from smuggling Bibles and the gospel literature in vehicles, smuggling them in on horseback, walking in. I remember one guy, he was going into China. This was probably back, has to have been back in the 70s, maybe the early 80s. And he had actually, I guess it was more in the 80s, because things were starting to open up a little bit between Hong Kong and China, communist China at the time. And he had a bag, a suitcase full of Bibles. And he went in and he went to where the train station was from Hong Kong. This is before Hong Kong was turned over from the British government back to the Chinese. And he went through the checkpoint, and they opened up his bag that had the Bibles in it, and they said, "Oh, you can't bring this in." And he didn't argue with them. He said he went over, and he took the suitcase. He went over to a storage locker that they have, you know, the kind they have at airports and bus stations and things, and he put his coin in, got the key out, opened it up, and he put the bag in there, closed it, locked it, and then he went and they let him go into China, and he went and made his rounds to the contacts that he had, explained to them that he didn't have the Bibles, they wouldn't let him bring them in, and so he went about his business and went back to Hong Kong, and then a couple of weeks later, he went back into China, and when he went through the checkpoint, he had his bag looked at, and it was just basically his clothes and things like that. And after they cleared him, he went over to the same storage locker. He put the key in, opened it up, took his bag suitcase full of Bibles out, since he was already cleared through the immigration checkpoint. He just took his bag, got on the train, went off and distributed his Bibles there in China. And I heard of somebody one time that they actually used balloons that they put portions of the Bible and some gospel literature on balloons, and they released them off from a boat in the Caribbean, somewhere in that area there, the Gulf of Mexico, depending on which way the winds were blowing, in order to carry them onto the island of Cuba, and very interesting things. People got very ingenious at various ways of taking the gospel in, but certainly radio and television has been able to penetrate into these areas and still does today, because we don't quite have the Iron Curtain that we had back during the Cold War era, but we have, I don't know what we would call it for an Islamic version of that, but we do have a series of countries that we cannot take the gospel into because of Islam. They won't let Bibles in. They won't let Christian workers in. And people have to be creative. There are some people who go in and start a business. And while they have that business there, they actually use that to make contacts and be able to distribute Bibles and Christian literature and be able to reach people with the gospel. You know, kind of goes back to the model that I believe it was the Waldenses. They were persecuted heavily, and these are some of the early Baptists. They were basically Baptists, if you look at their theology and their doctrine at the time. And they were hounded and hunted and even killed. And so they hid in the mountains there in northern Italy, southern France, places like that. And one of the ways that they would spread the gospel during that time is they would go down into the villages as tinkers or some kind of merchant of some sort, selling various things that they had made, repairing different things. And while they were there, they would use that as an opportunity to share the gospel, maybe even deliver some Bibles or scripture portions, things of that nature. So it's kind of like we've done the same thing today. But certainly another way we have of getting the gospel into places today is the internet. And this is amazing when we think about what we can do. And the internet, I can remember when my wife and I were in the Samoan Islands, we started a church in American Samoa in the 1990s. And while we were there, the internet arrived in American Samoa. And I can remember going into communications, which was the telephone company, and one of the gentlemen in our church, his family owned the dishes, I should say, that the telephone company used. And so even though the telephone company was an arm of the government, his father was the director of communications or director of the telephone company, because their family owned the satellite dishes that they depended on. And they brought the internet in, and we got to go into the communications building and surf the internet for the first time back in, oh, this must be about 1997 or something, or 96 maybe at the earliest. And so that was my first exposure. And I remember sitting there in this building in the South Pacific we were going online, and I remember finding a website for a Baptist church in Northern Ireland, I believe it was, and being so fascinated that here I am, a world away. I was trying to find something on as far away as I could, and I figured Ireland, Great Britain, had to be about on the opposite side of the globe. And just looking at this website for this Baptist church that was there in Northern Ireland, and just being so fascinated with that. And I can remember when we came back from Samoa and beginning to establish an internet presence for our church after I became the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. And a lot of people at the time thinking, what's a website? Even then, in the late 90s, a lot of people didn't see the need for a website. I can remember going to a preacher's fellowship meeting there in the must have been in the late 90s, maybe around 2000 or something like that, and they were talking about the dangers of the internet and various things. And of course, we know there's a lot of dangers with the internet, not least of which is spending too much time on it, which I certainly find from time to time falling prey to. But just the inappropriate material that people get into on the internet, and certainly, unfortunately, pornography has just abounded on the internet, things of that nature, and a lot of false teachings, heresies proclaimed on the internet. But be that as it may, there is a lot of good material and a lot of opportunity using the internet. And Jesus said we should go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so this program and the programs like this are not only going out on the radio, but going out on the internet, where literally anybody in the world can listen to this. And in the case of Facebook Live, watch as we're doing this. And it's an exciting thing. But I get back to talking about North Korea there. When we think about what happened in North Korea, could it be that enough people praying and the gospel being sent in by, at least by radio and other, I'm sure there are other attempts that some people had made getting the gospel in, that maybe, just maybe, a change is beginning to take place there. And if it does, you know, the opportunity to spread the gospel in North Korea, you know, when we look at what's been happening in recent years, when the Iron Curtain came down and God opened up the Soviet Union, well, Russia, the Soviet Union crumbled, when God made it possible for missionaries to go in to the old Soviet Union and the Eastern Bloc countries, I remember when Ceausescu fell from power in Romania, and actually he was executed by the people who rose up against him. And ironically, there was a, if I remember correctly, when Ceausescu was toppled, and he was one of the more ruthless dictators there in Eastern Europe, and he was actually paraded around in the West every once in a while as a moderate communist when he was really pretty ruthless. And all of these leaders in these communist countries seemed to make a lot of money somehow too, even though they weren't supposed to accumulate wealth. But there was a protest that had rose up. And if I remember correctly, I think there was a church, an underground church that it centered around. I don't remember all the details here, but the protest started out, and as it began to grow, Ceausescu ordered the army to go and put down the protest, and they had these tanks that they had, and they ordered the tanks to go. If you remember, some of you might remember in Tiananmen Square when China had ordered the tanks in where the students were protesting for freedom in China, and they ordered the tanks to go in and put down the protest. It was kind of that same sort of a deal, except that there was one thing that happened. The tanks, because Ceausescu was always afraid of a revolt or somebody, a coup toppling him, he did not allow the tanks to have much fuel in them. And the tanks started up, and they only got a few miles down the road, I guess, not even maybe quite that far, and they all ran out of fuel. Yeah, so his own fear allowed the protest to grow, and then, of course, he was taken, and his wife, and they were tried and then executed. And Romania, along with many other countries that were former communist countries, opened up to the gospel. I know a missionary who's in, he has been working in Albania, and I remember him saying that when Albania finally opened up and the communist government in Albania fell, the Albanian people were so isolated from the rest of Europe that when the country opened up to the outside world, that many of the people in Albania went through a period of shock, because they had been told that Albania was one of the most advanced countries in the world. Now, keep in mind, this is in the early 1990s, and I saw a humorous video online several days ago where this lady was telling her granddaughter to call her mother, and she had an old rotary phone, and the granddaughter, who was probably about 12, 13 years old, couldn't figure out how to dial the number, and her grandmother kept saying, well, just dial the number. And she goes, well, how? What do I do? And she said, put your finger in the hole where the number is and dial it. And so the girl is poking her finger in the hole, thinking it's going to do something. And she said, you have to spin the wheel. And the girl is saying, I don't know. What do you mean, spin the wheel? And her grandmother was laughing, saying, you know, you supposedly know all this stuff about computers, and you can't run a simple phone. You can't use a phone. And, well, remember those old phones? We had a black one that hung on the wall, just a big old black phone. I mean, I think you could get it in two colors. You know, one was black, and I think the other was like a dark brown or something. And I remember my grandmother had one that sat on a table, and it had a cord, but ours hung on the wall. And that was all we had in our house, you know, when I was growing up. And now in the 1990s, we had phones of different colors, and the cell phones were coming out and different things like that. And in Albania, when they opened up to the West, If a village had one black rotary phone in the entire village, they considered themselves in an advanced place, that they were above everybody else. And they believed that was better than what the rest of the world had. And so they went through shock when they found out, when Albania opened up to the rest of the world, that they were actually one of the most backward countries in the world. They went through a period of shock, but it also allowed an opportunity for the gospel to go in. And it really is interesting where we see this progress of the gospel being able to go into these countries that were formerly under the dark curtain of communism, where they did not have the freedom of religion that we take for granted in our country. And God gave them that opportunity. And now, of course, we see the gospel being able to get into some parts of the Muslim world that it wasn't previously able to get into. And I really do believe God is opening up these parts of the world before he comes back for us. And could it be that North Korea, one of the last remaining places on the planet, last remaining countries where it's almost impossible to get anything in via the internet and via to get the gospel, and very difficult. Could it be that God is moving the hearts of the dictator there so that he'll modernize his country and open up to the outside world, and in doing so, give us an opportunity to reach the North Koreans with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Wouldn't that be something? We've seen it happen in the former communist countries. We've seen it happen in some of the Arab countries, and it is happening in some of them. I believe Algeria just allowed 3 churches to be opened, which is was a phenomenal thing. And even some of the reforms taking place in Saudi Arabia, at the top of my head, can't think of the name of the prince who is kind of ruling, even though his father is still king, but he is kind of the one who's actually doing things right now. He has been opening up and even making some noises that they may allow, at least on a limited basis, some availability of the gospel, or I should say openness to Christians, probably dealing with or relating to foreign nationals inside of Saudi Arabia. I'm going to have to do some more research onto that, but there's some reports coming out that there may be a possibility of Saudi Arabia opening up a little bit. But I do believe that Jesus in the Bible says that the gospel is to be preached in all the world. We're commanded to go into all the world. And I believe that before he returns, that most of the world is going to have the opportunity to hear the gospel message. And through radio, through the internet, through opening of various countries, we can see that that's happening. And that's one of those things that indicates to me that the return of our Lord is probably closer than we might realize. And so we think about that. The Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He's given us the ways to do it. You know, in Paul's day, they did not have television, radio, the internet. They didn't have phones or cell phones. They did not have the many things that we take for granted today, but they reached most of the world in their day just by putting feet to their belief. And they went out and they carried the gospel throughout the world, throughout the Roman Empire and beyond. And today we've got so many more things that we can use to carry the gospel to a lost and dying world. And I think we as Christians need to be putting more of our time, more of our effort, more of our money, and more of our heart into going out to reach the lost and dying world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The world looks at things happening and they get anxious, they get fearful, they get worried. They don't know what's coming up next. They don't know if there's going to be war. They don't know if there's going to be another terrorist attack. They don't know if there's going to be another pandemic. They're worried about another flu virus they identified in Asia that kills about 40% of the people who get it. They're worried that something like that could make it. But we have faith in Christ. When we put our faith in Christ, we know who we belong to, we know where we're going, and we know who controls the future. If you haven't put your trust in Christ as your Savior, let me encourage you to look into that, investigate the claims of the gospel. Come and visit us. We can help you. Well, thanks for listening today. We're out of time. Happy Father's Day coming up on Sunday. God bless. Join us next time.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.